You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back if you're rejoining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to thank all of our callers and texters for a lively conversation last hour, as well as my special contributor, James Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney, and he hosts a program that I think I learn something from every time I listen to it. It's called Amicus. It is Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across this network. Folks, if you're just joining us, big election day here in the U.S., but not so much in Wisconsin. We actually have a little break. Don't worry, we'll be in full swing come this spring with our Supreme Court elections. But big elections going down in Virginia for both governor and attorney general, New York City mayor, Minneapolis mayor. California's got the proposition about whether or not they should engage in redistricting in response to Donald Trump cheating in other states to try to basically capture a House majority when a majority of Americans aren't voting for MAGA candidates. Fact. All of that happening, and according to reports so far, in New Jersey, where there's also a huge gubernatorial race, the turnout is massive. Massive. So keep your eye on this. I know results are going to start to roll in. The New York City mayor's race, those polls don't close until 9 p.m. East Coast time, so that's 8 p.m. here. I know I'm going to be tuned in. We'll talk about it a bit more tomorrow. A bit of breaking news. A UPS cargo plane has just crashed after takeoff near Muhammad Ali International Airport in Louisville, Kentucky. A large explosion occurred and the fire is ongoing. A 5-mile-wide evacuation area has been issued for Louisville. That plane was headed towards Honolulu, according to reports. In addition, other breaking news this hour. President Trump is renominating. Nominated him, then I think he dropped out. He's nominating him again. A guy by the name of Jared Isaacman to serve as NASA administrator. Isaacman, a top ally of Elon Musk, had his nomination withdrawn earlier this year due to donations he had made in the past to Democrats. Trump's withdrawal of the nomination back in May angered Elon, the billionaire overlord, amongst our many now billionaire overlords in this country. This is an interesting one, because this is in effect a rebuke of Sean Duffy, who's been in this weird online feud with Elon Musk over the last few days. So despite the fact that these two headlines look utterly disparate and unconnected, of course I can see the connection and share it with all of you. You got the cargo plane blowing up at an airport, airports under the control of Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, direct line to Elon Musk. You know, maybe this is a new segment idea, folks. You give me two headlines and I show you the through line between them. Like Stump Maggie, because in my mind, everything is connected. It is all of a whole. Those two headlines certainly an example of that this afternoon. But the probably, before we get the election results in, the big, big news today was the passing of former Vice President Dick Cheney, a vocal opponent of Donald Trump, a driving force behind the 2003 Iraq War, and generally considered to be the most powerful vice president in modern American history. He died yesterday at the age of 84 from complications of pneumonia and heart disease. I think Dick Cheney's legacy is an interesting one, and one that is not clear-cut at all. If you'll recall, in an August 26, 2002 speech, Cheney said this, quote, simply stated, there is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. He also claimed in March 2003 that Iraq had, quote, reconstituted nuclear weapons, end quote. These statements were false. While former Vice President Cheney and the Bush administration writ large has maintained consistently that those statements, which again were basically the basis for a years-long war, that those statements were based on the best available intelligence at the time, subsequent Investigations and reporting indicated that Cheney and other officials went beyond and, according to some, ignored the consensus judgments of the intelligence communities and sometimes ignored specifically contradictory evidence. That is an example of what happens when politics trumps objective expert analysis. We end up in years-long wars and Americans die. What do you think's happening now? Now, despite what is, again, Dick Cheney's complex history, I think mistaken judgments, he did find his way to a very clear judgment when his daughter, who had been a congresswoman until the MAGA movement decided she wasn't quite Republican enough because she participated in the January 6th House congressional oversight hearings. When his daughter began speaking out, Dick Cheney eventually took up the mantle and spoke in support of her and explicitly against Donald Trump, calling him unfit. Given his passing, it seems appropriate to revisit Dick Cheney's thoughts about Donald Trump. Take a listen.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it. Lynn and I are so proud of Liz for standing up for the truth, doing what's right, honoring her oath to the Constitution, when so many in our party are too scared to do so. Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. And she will succeed. I am Dick Cheney. I proudly voted for my daughter. I hope you will too.
Dick Cheney eventually actually endorsed Kamala Harris. When a man who, I think, whatever you may think of Dick Cheney's failure of judgment back in 2003 and 2004 related to the Iraq War, Republican or Democrat, you have to admit of the fact that Dick Cheney was a guy that, in a very uncompromising way that I think led to, again, his lapse in judgment back in 2003 and 4, was a stalwart defender of America. He was a foreign policy hawk. The homeland, if you will. Nobody can ever claim otherwise. That was, in part, Dick Cheney's entire raison d'etre, who he wanted to be and was as a vice president and in his many years of public service. And by the way, Dick Cheney was also a proponent of an extraordinarily expansive view of executive branch power. He's the one that encouraged George W. Bush to use executive orders in a new way. So he was very much on the side of the Federalist Society and many in the long now past and forgotten Republican Party that advocated for this unitary executive theory. He believed in that. He was a foreign policy hawk. He was the staunchest defender of America as our homeland. And this guy, who used to be called Darth Vader by Democrats, this guy, I don't know if you can argue there was a more Republican than Dick frickin' Cheney. This guy told Republicans and MAGA voters and Trump voters that Donald Trump poses an active threat to American democracy. Those were some of his last public words in American politics. If Dick Cheney can find his way to a criticism or a wholesale indictment of this president, Again, it's 288 days into Donald Trump's administration the second time around. I'm looking for Mike Johnson to say one thing even marginally negative about Donald Trump. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's found her way to say this is ridiculous. The former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, has said, listen, the first time I was Speaker and we had the State of the Union speech and I'm standing up there looking at the all of Congress and the Republicans get up. Boy, they looked like a white country club. The Democrats got up and they looked like America. Maybe we need to do something. If Kevin McCarthy and Marjorie Taylor Greene can find their way to critique the Republican Party, to critique Donald Trump and his takeover, there is no Republican Party. It is just the MAGA movement. If Darth Vader himself goes, well, that guy is really dangerous. We should be worried about that. Maybe that's a hint. So I'm going to wait 288 days. I'm going to do a counter every day. Have we got one legitimate critique of this president in word or deed or meme or AI-generated pooping airplane thing? Can Mike Johnson find a single thing to draw some distinction between himself and the president? And by the way, when we talk about shutdowns and historical precedents, there has never been a time where a Democratic-controlled House of Representatives had a Speaker of the House that never drew a hint of daylight between the House Democratic Caucus and the White House, even with a Democratic president in the White House. That's an additional reason why it's different this time, because Congress, Republicans, the MAGAs in Congress aren't doing their job. They are no longer the first branch of government because they cannot bring themselves. It's 288 days in, court after court. Stop lying. Stop disobeying court orders. Stop violating people's constitutional rights. Stop appointing incompetent people. Stop the vindictive prosecutions. Stop being ignorant of the law. Stop with these claims of immunity that are ill-founded. Stop with this claim to absolute power. And the Congress, the MAGAs in Congress, can't find their way to a single criticism of this president. So I'm going to keep the ticker going. It's day 288. I'll also even throw in like a booby prize for any of the big old MAGA Trump supporter texters and callers that hit me up every single day. Can you find a single word or deed of this president that you will critique? Because there's not a single Democratic president, Obama, Biden, Clinton, that I don't have a whole number of things that I think they screwed up about. By the way, we are coming up on the historical marker of the longest shutdown in American history. The last one was during Trump 1. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk to you about Nick Fuentes and the anti-Semitism crisis that may be fracturing the MAGA movement. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's day 288 of Donald Trump's administration, and we have yet to hear Mike Johnson, Magical Thinking Mike, Jack Hole Johnson, find a single thing that he wants to draw some distinction, some daylight between House MAGAs and the president. It's pretty incredible. Maybe even the vice president. Again, I'll throw in a booby prize if he finds his way to criticize J.D. Vance. For example, when J.D. Vance, just a couple of two, 3 weeks ago, defended as youthful indiscretions that vile text thread amongst these, quote, young Republicans, some who were then in their 30s, talking about gas chambers and explicitly racist, misogynistic, homophobic, like really awful stuff. And J.D. Vance was like, oh, they're kids. Nobody should judge them about that. That's fine. No, it's not. They weren't kids. It's despicable. And then a week later, one of Donald Trump's nominees, this was the guy, Paul Ingrassia, that was going to be the head of the Office of Special Counsel, again in text messages, told a bunch of Republicans that the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday belongs in hell and said, he's got a Nazi streak, you know, leaning in. And again, there was like feigned outrage from the MAGA movement. By the way, Donald Trump today, Truth Social, posted about the New York City mayoral election and said this. Any Jewish person that votes for Zohran Mamdani, a proven and self-professed Jew hater, is a stupid person. That's interesting. I just love it when Republicans are like, just don't play the race card or the religion card. Except when we do it, it's totally fine. Bizarre. Anyways, all of that is prequel that brings us to this fissure within the MAGA movement. There has been this tension, again, within the MAGA movement for a very long time. Between, sometimes folks call them gripers. If you've never heard that term, don't worry about it. You can Google it, but it's sort of this very, very far alt-right, Nazi-adjacent, or explicitly Nazi-embracing faction within MAGA. And the face that MAGA presents to Americans, which is very pro-Israel. Weird. How can you have a group that is very pro-Trump and MAGA, right, that is explicitly anti-Semitic, and at the same time have Donald Trump have like higher approval ratings in Israel than Benjamin Netanyahu, the same guy who said at the after the Charlottesville rally, we have good people on both sides, talking about, again, neo-Nazi folks. So this has now come full circle. MAGA is in a full tilt meltdown about this. How did this all kick off? Okay, last week, Tucker Carlson, the guy who was exiled from Fox News, who is largely responsible for J.D. Vance's political ascendancy because he talked about him all the time. He interviewed him on Fox News. He was like, J.D. Vance is the best guy ever. That Tucker Carlson welcomed onto his podcast, which if you haven't seen it, don't bother, but it has this like weird like lodge vibe. There's like antler chandeliers. Anyways, I'm digressing. Tucker Carlson brings onto his podcast a Holocaust-denying anti-Semite named Nick Fuentes. Remember also, Nick Fuentes was welcomed by Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago alongside Kanye West, or the artist formerly known as Kanye West, now known as Ye, who also has said deeply anti-Semitic things. Why is that okay for Donald Trump to do and still claim support from Jewish people? Okay, I don't know. But this is the fissure, right? In one breath, Donald Trump appealing to neo-Nazis, the KKK, and other racist groups in the United States, while at the same time talking out of the other side of his mouth and being like, I'm the best friend of Israel ever. So this has now consumed MAGA. There are people drawing battle lines all over the place. One person is another conservative commentator, influencer by the name of Ben Shapiro. He called it on Monday the most important thing happening in the country. I'll just set aside the people going hungry part. But for Ben and the MAGA verse, because they don't care about people going hungry, yep. The fissure over the Nazi, anti-Semitic, Holocaust-denying, not insignificant faction of the MAGA movement squaring off against the public positioning of the MAGA movement is a problem. And let's remember, this isn't the first indicator of this, right? Again, Donald Trump hosting Ye and Nick Fuentes, this Holocaust-denying Nazi sympathizer, at Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump, good people on both sides after Charlottesville. Again, not new, but newly exploding into view during Trump's second term. I have some of what Nick Fuentes has said. Jacob has been kind enough to cut all of this together for us. It was a yeoman task. Thank you, my friend. And it got worse. So it wasn't just Tucker Carlson and Nick and his friendly interview with this Nazi. The Heritage Foundation, their CEO, then publicly doubled down on their support for Tucker Carlson, and people are angry. I have all the details. I have all the receipts, as the kids like to say. I'm going to get into all of that with some of the sound from this groiper, this Nazi Nick Fuentes, who Donald Trump has welcomed with open arms at Mar-a-Lago. All that's next. You're not going to want to miss this. It is really important. Not as important as starving people, but important. All coming up next, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been trying to describe, observe with all of you this major fracture within the MAGA movement. It's been visible and there for quite some time. But for those that aren't in the social media feeds of a lot of these MAGA influencers that don't pay attention to all the different weird factions of MAGA supporters, and there's a lot of them, and there's distinctions between some of them, you might think that it's just a monolith, but it's not. And again, when I say that the fractures have been there for a long time, I mean it. Donald Trump has in many ways, remember his refusal to condemn David Duke? It was the standard. We got to get a ticker on how many times Republicans go, I don't know who that is. I've never heard the interview. I didn't hear that. You got to ask this, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That was Donald Trump's response to who is David Duke. Of course, the grandmaster head of the KKK ran for public office. Refusal to condemn David Duke. Donald Trump inviting the Holocaust-denying anti-Semite Nick Fuentes and the anti-Semite Kanye West to Mar-a-Lago, because he wants the support of neo-Nazis in this country and racists. He wants their support, but he also wants to then get on a stage and say, I support Israel. So here is what set off this. Now we're into a week-long blow-up within the MAGA movement that has now reached the Heritage Foundation. The architect, the author, the organization that brought together Project 2025, the blueprint for Donald Trump's entire second administration, whose key author and organizer, Russ Vogt, is now the Darth Vader of Trump 2.0. He runs the Office of Management and Budget. He's the guy that's trying to fire workers during the shutdown, has fired tens of thousands of federal, that guy, okay? So it all comes around, reaches the highest levels of this administration. Tucker Carlson had Nick Fuentes on his show last week and gave him what can only be described as a disturbingly friendly interview. In case you don't know who Nick Fuentes is, here he is. This is some of what he said cut together in all of its disgustingness.
A lot of women want to be raped. And when I say raped, I mean like, that sounds bad when I say it like that. But there's like a lot of women that really want a guy to beat the shit out of them. But also, they have to pretend, but part of it is they have to pretend like they don't. Raise your right hand. All right, everybody, raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I will kill, rape, and die for Nicholas J. Fuentes. I will continue my crusade against women in politics. Because it's always like this, and it's so ironic. Women are like, I don't like, when you say, I like, you have to affect the face. When you say to repeal the 19th Amendment, that offends me. That hurts my feelings. It's like, have you ever stopped and considered that maybe if you get offended, there's such a strong emotional reaction to political opinions you disagree with across the board? Maybe that's one of the reasons why you shouldn't be making political decisions. I'm not attacking women. I'm attacking whores. You have no problems, right? I'm attacking whores. I'm attacking sluts. Stupid, dirty bitches. It was better for them too, number one. But number two, who cares? Who cares? You know, enough with the Jim Crow stuff. Who cares? Oh, they had to drink out of a different water fountain. Big f***ing deal. Oh no, they had to go to a different school. Their water fountain in that famous picture was worse. Who cares? Grow up. Drink out of the f***ing water fountain. It's water. It's the same. You know? And, you know, even if it was bad, who cares? Who cares? It's better. It's better in general. We all agree it was better for them. It's better for us. Better in general.
The reason that we talk about this, by the way, I know a lot of black people see this and they go, man, why are you always talking about black people, this and that? Because there just needs to be some shame here. Well, there's a few reasons. First, white people are every single bit justified in being racist. Every single bit justified, to the extent that that means going out of your way to avoid black people when you see them. Buddy, it's Fuhrer Friday. It is Hitler Friday. Shut up. It is Heil Hitler Friday. Heil Hitler on my Nazis.
Nick Fuentes, and here he is denying the Holocaust.
It doesn't really sound correct to me. Wait a second. It takes 1 hour to cook a batch of cookies, and you have 15 ovens, probably in four different kitchens, right? Doing 24 hours a day every day for 5 years. How long would it take you to make 6 million? I don't know. It certainly wouldn't be 5 years, right? The math doesn't seem to add up there. The math doesn't quite seem to add up there. I don't think you'd result in 6 million. Maybe 200,000 to 300,000 cookies. And I think the Red Cookie Association said something like that. Probably 200,000 to 300,000 cookies baked. Probably. And in addition, you know, in this hypothetical, I imagine that if you took aerial photographs over the kitchens, you would need to see certain smokestacks to release the smoke from baking the cookies. And the smokestacks would project certain shadows, but I guess they're not visible in the aerial photographs taken over the kitchens. Moreover, if you look at the soil texture, it's really not deep enough for mass cookie storage underground.
And Hitler is cool, courtesy of Nick Fuentes.
Hitler was a pedophile and kind of a pagan. It's like, well, he was also really f***ing cool. So, you know, time to grow up. We're not children anymore, am I right? Am I right? Am I right, boys? Am I right? Let's go. He was also really f***ing cool. And any boy knows that. Anybody that watches these videos where he's rolling down the street and stuff, it's like, this guy's awesome. This guy's cool.
What you say, is it, do you actually believe what you say? Or is it the good old fashioned shock jock, let's shock the system and be bombastic? How do you process that?
I would have to believe what I say because I've gone through a process which, you know, I don't wish on people. I've gone through the gauntlet of what I have at a very young age. And again, like I said, it's the financial, it's the social media deplatforming. Mm-hmm. It's being ostracized by my high school friends and you know, the whole gamut of having views like I have because I
gamut?
Really believe them.
Let's
and it's
wrap this. The word is gamut, you nincompoop. I'm going to use the words of John Positano. Years of tolerance and even embrace of conspiracy theories, election lies, and bigotry have reshaped the MAGA base and its media ecosystem, giving credence to radical voices that have pushed the party further from its traditional conservatism and deeper into grievance and hate. Now, even as traditional conservatives attempt to try to reclaim their moral compass, they're discovering that the forces that they have unleashed have grown too powerful to contain. The issue isn't, according to the National Review, only that Carlson platformed a Holocaust denier, racist, misogynist twerp. The framing allows MAGAs to portray this entire discussion as an effort at like open debate, as good faith dialogue, as engagement with alternative views, as if there is some equivalency on the side of Democrats. find me a Democrat that's like, Hitler is effing awesome and women want to be raped, or whatever the hell the equivalency of such disgustingness is. Find me one. It's day 288. I'll wait. When Tucker Carlson puts this guy in a show, Tucker Carlson, the guy that made J.D. Vance's political career, you are normalizing this. This is the problem with MAGA. It's not ancillary to. It is deeply part of. So whether or not we're talking about Senator Schmidt saying America is only for white people, or Lindsey Graham saying we're killing the right people, or RFK Jr. talking about culling the flocks and herds, or any of the other pretty much overtly eugenicist policies and languaging, that is not something that we need to debate in good faith. It's not. I don't need to debate the merits of Nick Fuentes. And we should be able to roundly condemn anyone that platforms that. And by platforming, I don't mean playing it so that I can call him an ignorant, racist twerp that has nothing about or related to American values and nothing to say about them. The traitors, the domestic terrorists, aren't Democrats for disagreeing with Donald Trump's policies. They're guys like Nick Fuentes and the movements that he energizes. And then by extension, the guys like Tucker Carlson, who make it normal, or the defenders of the white supremacist young Republicans, some of which were in their 30s, that J.D. Vance defended as, oh, don't pay attention to that. The problem is when conservatives don't push back on their own. So many texters and callers from the conservative end of the spectrum always have the ready critique of Obama, Biden, Clinton, etc. The ready reference to Hunter. He didn't make billions of dollars off of deals with foreign governments. The Trump organization did and is. So start with your own house. I can list off a critique of every Democratic president in the last 30 years off the top of my head, no problem. Mean it. Where is your critique of your own people? The easiest, lowest hanging fruit. And instead, what happened? The Heritage Foundation, the most preeminent MAGA think tank, the architects, the authors of Project 2025, their CEO went out and defended Tucker Carlson.
We will defend truth. We will always defend America. And we will always defend our friends against the slander of bad actors who serve someone else's agenda. That includes Tucker Carlson, who remains, and as I have said before, always will be a close friend of the Heritage Foundation. The venomous coalition attacking him are sowing division. Their attempt to cancel him will fail. Most importantly, the American people expect us to be focusing on our political adversaries on the left, not attacking our friends on the right.
What? Guy's name is Kevin Roberts. What? Just like not a single MAGA caller or texter on this program, just like magical thinking Jack Holt Johnson, just like they cannot find a single thing, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant, to criticize this president about, the Heritage Foundation cannot find its way to say, we will vociferously defend free speech, but at the same time, we will vociferously condemn anti-Semitism, racism, misogyny, and the branding of people who politically disagree with you as evil, traitors, terrorists, or any other derogatory term. The hate is coming from people like Nick Fuentes and his apologists in the MAGA party. Find me a clip of Obama, Biden, or Clinton saying anything close to that, and I'll give you $1 million. By the way, that's sarcasm, not an oral contract. Stay tuned, last segment of the day, coming up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Want to give some love to everybody on the text and phone lines today, including my friend Mark from Sussex, Gary in Madison, Jeannie in Eau Claire, Ronnie from Horicon, Joe in La Crosse, Troy from Mount Horeb, and of course, Mark from Prairie du Sac. We got Barb in Waukesha, Luke on the south side of Chicago, Jim in Appleton. So many folks participating today. Thank you all so very much. I try to read and incorporate your thoughts as we're going. You can always reach out to me. And remember, we got those Ask Maggie segments on Friday. You can send in your questions for me about anything that you'd like. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. You can also text those questions in. We've been talking about, for the bulk of this hour, the fact that there is this fundamental tension within MAGA. And a recent controversy has blown it wide open. And that is that there are key constituencies in MAGA that are overtly racist, overtly sexist, homophobic, and also anti-Semitic. Nick Fuentes is one of them. Nick Fuentes was also a guest of the President of the United States at Mar-a-Lago. The President of the United States has used racist rhetoric again and again and again, and then distances himself from it. And many GOP elected officials, I should call them MAGA elected officials, use deeply offensive racist constructs to defend Trump policies. Here's Lindsey Graham celebrating the fact that we're killing the right people. Take a listen.
He recognized Jerusalem as capital of Israel. Why? Because if you got a problem with that, take it up with God. He's the guy that did it, not Trump. So I just want to say, I feel good about the Republican Party. I feel good about where we're going as a nation. We're killing all the right people and we're cutting your taxes.
Shame on you. And then, of course, Senator Schmidt of Missouri saying, America's for white people. Don't you forget it.
Soldiers dying of frostbite at Valley Forge. The pilgrims struggling to survive in the hard winter soil of Plymouth. The pioneers striking out from Missouri for the wild and dangerous frontier. The outnumbered Kentucky settlers repelling wave after wave of Indian war band attacks from beyond the stockade walls. All of them will be astonished to hear that they were only fighting for a proposition. They believe they were fighting for a nation, a homeland for themselves and their descendants. They fought, they bled, they struggled, they died for us. They built this country for us. America, in all its glory, is their gift to us, handed down across the generations. It belongs to us. It's our birthright. It's our heritage, our destiny. If America is everything and everyone, then it is nothing and no one at all.
That was basically a cop of Hitler's first address as the German chancellor back in 1933. Who's the us? White European landowners, men. When Donald Trump says we, if you're worried about where your food's going to come from or if you can retire or if your kids are going to do better than you, do you think he's really talking about you? Because poor white folks. Working class white folks, we're all dispensable as well. So be careful. It sounds like you're talking about them, but it might just be you that they do not value anymore. And listen, folks, we got historic turnout numbers and voting numbers coming in from Virginia and New Jersey and California. I'll be watching the returns tonight. I'll cover it tomorrow. But I wanted to remind us what happened 17 years ago today. When millions of Americans, even if you don't like Barack Obama, saw with their own eyes part of what the promise of America is when we are called to to our better angels. To leave behind these antiquated notions of us v. them based on religion or race or nationality or gender or who someone chooses to love. So let's remember together. Let's listen to a bit of what happened 17 years ago today. Remind ourselves together of the promise that we all have, that we all can make true through voting and raising our voices together. Let's remember.
I've been crying since 4 o'clock this morning. This is momentous. Win or lose, the game has been changed.
This is the most important election of our life.
I'm really excited. This is the first time I voted.
All right, so Pennsylvania just got called.
Senator Barack Obama will carry the state of Virginia.
Barack Obama will be the 44th president of the United States.
But what a symbol it sends outside this nation and then inside this nation. The promise of how great America can be.
You'll become the 44th president of the United States.
I can't believe this, bro. I cannot believe this, man.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still question the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Every election day, we provide an answer about whether or not we will succeed to our highest ideals and principles and aspirations. Folks, I'm going to leave it there. I'll be back tomorrow to discuss these elections and the results. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.